This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
It's Sports Daily on a Monday here on KFH Radio. I am Brandon Zenner in for not one, but both of Tommy Gester and Jacob Albrock. A fun Monday. It is going to be. My coworker Rachel Hallam is going to join me later this hour, going to be with us the rest of the 2 hours as we look back at what was a epic, dramatic weekend in all of sports. Max Power is producing this thing this morning. We are powered by our friends at Prairie Fire Coffee on a morning like this, where my TV obligations last night, well, we go on late because of the Masters going into a playoff, pushes everything back by 40 minutes, means that the television news isn't ending until almost 11:30 last night, and that 6 a.m. morning call, oh, it hit this morning, but thanks to our friends at Prairie Fire, these 2 hours are going to be absolutely nothing. We have a lot that we are going to get into. The Masters ends in absolute dramatic fashion. Rory McIlroy walking off that green, going to all his family, his friends, all the patrons there watching everything that just unfolded over the last 4 days, and it ends with him standing outside a Butler cabin, outside the clubhouse, says, I got to go get a green jacket. He finally gets it after 14 years of having to wait since 2011 when he nearly won his first Masters, but he completes the career Grand Slam. We're going to get into that. The Royals beginning a 10-game road trip that's, I went back and looked at the entire schedule for the year, as tough as any stretch that they will face all season, and it comes just a couple weeks into the year. They start that 1-2. We're going to break that down. Kansas State, they are underway for football practice in the spring. Also, the portal is heating up. The voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, is going to join us in the next segment as we break down all things. Plus, Serena Sundell, one of the best women's basketball players to ever come through K-State. She is in New York City tonight for the WNBA draft. We'll get his thoughts on what she means to the history of the K-State program. Plus, I mean, the NBA, the final day of the regular season, drama in the last game. We get overtime between the Clippers and the Warriors, and now we have the NBA playoff brackets. Much, much more to get into as well. The Shockers also making a portal addition. yeah, just an absolute great weekend of sports. We're going to have it all covered for you over the next 2 hours right here on KFH. Max Powers, as I said, producing this thing. Max, drama was at an all-time high this weekend. How much were you loving that?
Rory needed the old Billy Barul for that one on the 18th. He had quite a posse with him. Yeah. Took him like 20 minutes to get to the clubhouse.
Yeah, Jim Nantz is so good. He does it better than anybody of just letting the moment talk on TV. There was a lot of moments to let speak after he has the Rory has his masterpiece to complete the career Grand Slam. He hugs his caddy. He hugs Justin Rose, his Ryder Cup teammates. And then it's just elation on the green. And then, yeah, just minutes upon minutes, I think it was almost 6 minutes of just silence, hearing that crowd talk, his daughter Poppy running into his arms. Man, that was awesome. That was such a scene.
Now, was that day at the end with the – was that Day that gave him a hug at the end, too, as he was going?
Yep, yeah. Yep. Jason Day was towards there. I mean, there was a lot of his fellow competitors that were up there to welcome him. Rory, I mean, this is a guy that – he could have had the career Grand Slam wrapped up back in 2014. He's only the sixth guy to ever win a U.S. Open, the Open Championship, PGA Championship, and the Masters. He had all other three won by 2014. He's only 24. You're thinking this is going to be a guy who's going to chase down double-digit majors, and he's going to have a chance to put himself into the likes of Tiger Woods, of Jack Nicklaus and whatnot. Instead, it's been 11 years of moments just escaping him. We know what happened last year at the U.S. Open, the missed putt on 18. Bryson, the up and down from the bunker, he ends up winning it. And then it all comes full circle yesterday. Bryson in the final pairing with Rory McIlroy. And things took a quick heel turn. I mean, Rory double bogeying the opening hole. Bryson having a lead by the end of two. But then by the time that they're walking off the fourth green, things turn around quickly. Rory all of a sudden has a three-stroke lead, and he was able to hold on for dear life the rest of the way. He did have he put a ball in the water on 13 after laying up on the par 5. He says, I'm just going to play conservatively. Instead of hitting the middle of the green, he puts it in the water, double bogey. And next thing you know, Justin Rose has the lead, but Rory... there was a couple more putts we talked about in Max that were just on the edge. He could have had it buried in regular before going to the playoff. But just an amazing moment for Rory. An amazing moment for golf.
The one that was on the edge of the cup.
Yeah.
Somebody should have blew something up trying to kill a gopher somewhere. Or jump up and down and make it fall in.
We love a Caddyshack reference on a morning. It's one of those moments that I was thinking back to last night while putting everything together for TV obligations. That's certainly, I think, down the road, that's going to be a moment that I think back on. I remember where I was in that moment. It's not often I have to hold back some tears in sports. 2019 Masters, Tiger winning it. I definitely sobbed a little bit while sitting bar side at country club back in my old job in St. Joseph, Missouri. Finished up a round, and I got to see the final six holes and getting to see Tiger lift his hands. Man, that was special. That's going to be up there as well. And then just other moments that you think back to, you remember where you were, 28-3 when the Patriots come back in the Super Bowl. I mean, just unlike anything we've seen in Super Bowl history. You think of LeBron's chase down block Game 7 against the Warriors. I think just when you put together the entire story, Rory on Sunday, the Masters, where we're seeing a little bit of a replay here on Get Up on ESPN this morning, just the way that everything came together. It seemed like it was going to be a repeat of his entire career yesterday, slipping away. And it looked like that. It looked like Justin Rose was going to win this thing at one point in this tournament.
Yeah, That was a short putt he missed on 18,
yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So would you consider the Masters like the championship, like Super Bowl, World Series, and everything else, the other tournaments are like ALDS,
mm-hmm,
you know, if you the Open,
to golf,
U.S. Open, yeah.
The Augusta, is the Super Bowl
of
golf. It is. It's a golfer's destination. I think of our coworker Tommy Castor, who was there yesterday.
Oh, he was.
He was. Here we go. And he texted us after, texted Tommy and I right after the round concluded. And he said, besides marrying my wife and having my children, fellas, this is the greatest day of my life. He was on 16. He was on television when Justin Rose made the putt on 16 to take the lead. And then he was there for the playoff, and what an epic playoff it was. Rory is finally a Masters champion, and he has the career Grand Slam. We're going to get into much more throughout the morning. As I said, we're going to talk more Masters. We're going to talk Royals. We're going to talk Wichita State Hoops, making a portal addition as well. But coming up next after this break, the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, should be joining us as a busy, busy time up in Manhattan. We'll see what he has to say about everything. You're listening to Sports Daily on a Monday here on KFH Radio.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily. I'm Brandon Zenner with you this morning. As I said, Rachel Howell will join us later, my coworker over at Channel 12, we'll get her thoughts on all things sports. Max Powers in with me producing this thing as we roll through with you on a Monday. Jacob and Tommy will be back tomorrow morning. Jacob enjoying some family time over the last week. Tommy enjoying some time away from his family, unfortunately, at their expense, but a Master Sunday that he certainly enjoyed down at Augusta. They're going to be back, and I know that he's going to have all sorts of stories from his Sunday experience inside of Augusta National Golf Club. So, yeah, make sure to rejoin them tomorrow morning beginning at 7 right here on KFH Radio. We continue to roll on, though. Myself, Max Powers producing this thing, and let's make the switch over to Royals talk as we roll through here. The Kansas City Royals, in the midst of a 10-game road trip, as we wait for Wyatt Thompson to hopefully join us, we'll get some K-State Wildcats talk if he is able to join us in this segment. But the Royals, we know it was a slow start to the year. They finally get the two series wins in their last homestand. The Orioles, they are able to take 2 of 3 from them, and then they roll into another home series with the Twins. I mean, the Twins looking about as disastrous as any team so far this season. One team that was expected to be there right in the hunt for the AL Central. It's still super, super early. I mean, we're talking about 16 games, 15 games a lot of these teams have played. But the Royals, they were able to get two big series wins against teams that are definitely going to be in the AL playoff hunt before they hit the road for a 10-game stretch that I went back and I did the math. I went and looked, broke it all down last night. This stretch, it's going to be as tough as any the Royals play all season long. three games in Cleveland, three games in Yankee Stadium, four games in, I don't even know what they call the Tigers Stadium anymore. It used to be Comerica Park. It's not Comerica. I don't believe. Maybe it very well might be Comerica Park. I don't know. Besides the point, the Detroit Tigers are not the Detroit Tigers of old. They are for real. Get to the playoffs last year, and it's going to be four big games with them to end this, to end the, this road trip. And the Royals, it was a clunker of a start. Beginning with Friday, they lose 7-0 to the Guardians. I mean, when you're losing 7-0, not much of anything is going to go right, and that's how it was. Chris Bubich was good until his final inning of work. He ends up getting pulled. He gave up a three-run homer in the fourth, and then Chris Stratton comes in, and he gets shelled in his one inning of work in the eighth, basically to the point where it said, yeah, we're just going to let you work through this. We're going to save the likes of Estevez, Urseg. We're gonna save them for when we need them in a game. The Royals lose that one 7-0. Just five hits, two of those, by the way, of Bobby Witt on Friday, and not much else to write home about. And then go on to Saturday, and the Royals, they fall 6-3, fall to 7-8 in the season, and that secures a series of loss against the Guardians. And Michael Renzen, it was kind of the almost the exact same story, just with a little more offense from the Royals' side as the Friday loss. Michael Renzen, pretty solid. He gave up in the end. He gives up three earned runs, seven hits, four Ks, 5 2/3. Again, this is the Royals' fifth starter. You'll take he has a 3.71 ERA on the season. You'll take that if you're the Royals because, again, you're supposed to be your worst starter. He's pitched pretty well this year. He ends up giving up three runs. Just not quite a quality start with the hits allowed, but still enough that the Royals, had they got the offense early in the game, they should have been able to maybe pull out a win there. Vinny Pasquantino had a home run to give the Royals a lead, and then six unanswered for the Guardians between the fourth, one in the fifth, one in the sixth, and then they had three more in the eighth. As I said, about the same story. That time, it was Sam Long coming out of the bullpen. He needed 32 pitches to get through the eighth inning, and he ends up giving up two hits, three runs, and yep, the game was over at that point. The next day, Sam Long goes on the injured list. Are those two correlated? Probably, but not great news after Hunter Harvey also goes on the injured list this past week. That was maybe the Royals outside of Estevez and Urseg. We talked about it, myself and Tommy, with Jalen Thompson last week. That was supposed to be this team's setup, man. That's looking at like your seventh guy, your seventh inning guy, Hunter Harvey. Get it to Urseg and Estevez. Both of those guys are on the injured list right now, Sam Long and Hunter Harvey. Hunter Harvey should be back just on the 15-day IL, Matt Quatraro was saying, but it's mild enough, the grade one, Tarius Major, back of the shoulder. They're going to be okay. He should be back probably after next week. Nothing too serious. So the Royals, they start with two losses in Cleveland. You're thinking, oh boy, how bad could this road trip get? We talked about, you're 5-5, even with Jalen Thompson, myself and Tommy talked about it. They get to 5-5 on this road trip. That is an absolute win against these teams. Well, they do get one back last night, 4-2 win against the Guardians. And, man, Kansas City fans, you have yourself an absolute gem in Cole Reagans. He goes a career high, 7 2/3. And Matt Quatraro alluded to it after the game last night that, well, he was dealing with some hamstring cramping there in heading into his final inning of work, heading into the eighth. And he let Q know. I'll let you know if it starts to pop up again. It did pop up, but just some cramping should not be any more of an issue going forward. And you better hope not, because, man, is this guy nails. He only lost four hits, one earned run, 10 strikeouts in a 4-2 win. And that 10 strikeouts, that means three consecutive games now, three consecutive starts, where he has fanned double-digit batters. That's only the second Royal ever to do that. The other one by the name of Kevin Apier. And Cole Reagans gets his first win on the season. His 34 strikeouts leads all of baseball. His ERA, 2.28. Well, if he can carry that into the end of the year, he's going to be probably at the top of the AL Cy Young talk. He is certainly going to be looking at one of the best ERAs by any starting pitcher in all of baseball. 2.28 might get it done as well. Probably will. But he goes 7 2/3, 89 pitches. Again, this is a guy that can go over 100 pitches, but it's so early in the year. The hamstring cramping again. You have Urseg and Estevez who hadn't pitched yet this series. They're fresh. So they bring on Urseg. 5 pitches, strikeout, get it to the ninth. Estevez, 3 Ks in the ninth inning, and he has been absolute nails as he gets his 5th save on the year. And the Royals save what could have been a nasty sweep to begin this road trip. Again, Cleveland, New York, Detroit. They managed to save a game, win it 4-2 in an epic fashion by Cole Reagans. This is a guy who's still only in his third season with the team. He comes over in the trade for Aroldis Chapman, who goes to the Rangers. The Royals bring him in. He was sort of trying to figure out what is his role in Major League Baseball. He'd worked out of the pen. The Royals say, we're going to have you be a starter. And it has been, I mean, nothing short of, I mean, the Royals win this trade. Aroldis Chapman, one of the best closers in MLB history, but what Cole Reagans has given this team from the day that he joined the fold has been nothing shy of spectacular. Last year, in his first full season, he goes 11-9 for the club with a 3.14 ERA. The year before that, he splits between Texas and Kansas City, made 12 starts for Kansas City. He came over after not starting a single game for the Rangers in 2023. But his first year, 2023, 5-2 with a 2.64 ERA. And that's when Royals fans are sitting there and saying, man, who is this gem that we have in the back of the bullpen or back of the starting rotation? This is nice. He goes in, opening day starter, spearheading the trio with him and Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha atop of the rotation. And he turns in an absolute gem of a season last year, a WAR of 5, and cementing himself as one of the best pitchers in baseball. And the way he has backed it up in this campaign through 4 starts, an ERA of 2.28, a whip under 1, 34 strikeouts, as I said, leads Major League Baseball. But opposite of that, the best part, 4 walks in 4 games. 4 walks in 4 games by the lefty out of Crawfordville, Florida. And that includes back-to-back games now where he has gone 5 innings. He's allowed just 1 run, and he has not issued a walk in each of the last 2 games, which is now over 13 innings of work. And the Royals, they have themselves something special atop this rotation. Let's hope it's not going to be a situation where he doesn't get the run support that he deserves, like we've seen for years and years for Royals pitchers. It was looking like that early in the season. He didn't get the loss when they lost back on opening day in extra innings, but he did not get the run support until late. And then in his second start, he fall 3-2 in extra innings. And his third game, they win just 2-1, and you're sitting here thinking, is this going to be a guy who just has to go every single time he's in the rotation, every time his spot comes up? Are the Royals going to give him any support? Well, they haven't really just yet, but that's also been the story for Royals baseball so far this year with their offense, because as great as the rotation has been, as great as Cole Reagans has been, it's been about the absolute opposite for this offense. Still early. Things have a long, long way to go before we put the nail in the coffin on this Royals offense. But they have to get it going, especially this week where they're going to go play the Yankees now for the next 3 games. And that's a team with nearly 30 home runs already in half that games. And they're going to be able to put up some runs. They're also going to have a chance to put up some runs. The Yankees have the 26th best ERA in all of baseball. I think it's 4-7. So a chance for the Royals to really put up some runs these next three games. It would be great to see because it has not come about this past week. Seven games against divisional foes, as I said, with the Twins and the Guardians. Their most runs scored in a game was 4. They didn't win a game by more than 2 runs all week either. Every win was by either 1 or 2. And you don't want to see that all year, Royals fans. One run wins, 2 run wins. We want to have some fun watching this team. We want to watch them go out and crush opponents 7-1. 7-0. Go get the job done. But it has not been that type of season so far. 7 games, maximum of 4 runs scored, no wins by more than 1 or 2 runs. And it's because, as I said, this offense, Vinny Pasquantino, when he's not getting sac fly RBIs, he really has not done much of anything this year. He had a home run over the weekend, a 2.18 average for the 3-hole hitter. And it only gets worse from there. Salvador Perez, the 4-hole hitter, hitting 2.13 on the young season, and it just have not come together. He has some of the worst strikeout rates in all of baseball, and it's been bad to see. Michael Massey, who a lot of promise for him late in the year, a year ago. He comes in, you think he's going to be your everyday second baseman. He is on the Mendoza line, a flat 200, and that's not going to get the job done. Hunter Renfroe gets the start yesterday. His batting average is just .128. That's okay. The outfield, the rest of the outfield, yeah, pretty solid. Oh, wait. MJ Melendez, .077. That's not going to get the job done. Kyle Isbell, center field, he has been pretty good. He had 3 hits yesterday, bumped his average up to .282. But again, that outfield, oh my, you need the likes of Mark Canha. It would be nice to have his bat around. He was batting .360 before he goes down with that injury. But injuries happen, and that's what happens. The Royals lose their best offensive piece in the outfield early in the year, and not great because, again, the outfield batting .128, .077, .282 between Renfroe, Melendez, and Isbell. Now, Michael Garcia, he gets over in the 3 spot yesterday. Another injury I hadn't even talked about yet. Jonathan India, he comes in. He's going to be your leadoff man. He's going to be a guy who can play third base. He can play second base. He can play in the outfield. Wonderful. Well, he left Saturday's game with quad tightness. Michael Garcia does the leadoff yesterday. He gets 3 hits, 2 RBIs. He had the 2 RBI double in the 5th that gave the Royals the lead for good. They hold on. He gets his batting average up to .300. That's positive. He's a guy that's going to be able to steal some bases. He's going to have some pop to his bat. And some positive regression for him as well. Bobby Witt, he is batting over .305. But as a whole, the Royals offense, when you look at their ranks, they're bottom 5 in the league in home runs. I think they're second worst in the league in all of home runs. Average as well. Bottom 5, they're not getting walks. They're not striking out terribly at this point in the season, but just not the numbers that you do wish to have. But you expect the guys like Vinny Pasquantino, you want him batting closer to .260, .270, long season ahead, but .218 is not going to get it done. When he's not getting sac flies, he's not doing much. Salvador Perez, his bat is going to come around. He will start slow sometimes. He's going to have some stretches where he's going to bat over .400 for 2 weeks. He's going to give you 5 home runs in that span. But .213 so far, when he's not even catching every day, Freddie Fermin caught last night. Freddie Fermin batting .143. Not going to get it done. Not enough on most nights. But when you have Cole Ragans, who fans 10 and just continues to do what he does, well, that's going to be enough to get it done on hopefully more nights than any. Matt Quatero said after the game, you're going to take a start like that any day of the week, whether you've been on a losing streak, whether you've been on a winning streak. It don't matter. Well, you'll take it, especially twice on Sundays. Cole Ragans, over 30 strikeouts the last three games. Just something special we are watching as now they head into Yankee Stadium for three games. Again, three games with the Yankees, four games coming up with the Tigers as well. It is a big, big week. They have one other 10-game road trip. It doesn't come until the second half of the season, but it doesn't compare into this three-game stretch. Oh, again, who knows? These teams might turn around, and it might end up being a tougher road trip when you look at August. Beginning August 1st, the Royals have a 10-game road trip at Toronto, at Boston, at the Twins. And now that I do the math, it's actually only a 9-game road trip. But nonetheless, three straight series on the road. It's Rachel Hallam, my coworker of 12 News, joining me on a Monday edition of Sports Daily here.
She couldn't help it. She was on standard time.
Yeah, exactly.
I can understand because...
I am from California, so I was just thinking about that.
From California.
And lived in Colorado. My time zones are all over the place.
And then now she's been with us at KWCH for over a year now. Rachel, glad you could join us this morning. First, you're new to the program. Tell the people a little bit about your background.
Yeah. New to the program, new to radio in general. It's the first time I've done any radio, so excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Went to Colorado State. That's where I got my journalism degree and have been broadcasting sports ever since then. So, yeah, it's been a passion of mine, and Brandon can tell that too. It's been good to be here in Wichita, like you said, just over a year now and kind of getting the groundwork still.
And you can tell when someone's passionate about sports, Max. When you learn the teams that they root for and they're still passionate about sports.
Okay. Throw me under the bus here. I already know where this is going.
Coming from the Minnesota Vikings fan, the Minnesota Twins fan, the Minnesota everything fan, I haven't seen anything notable happen in sports in my entire life other than covering Super Bowls and the Royals as well. Max, she said she's from California.
Me too.
What would you venture her teams that she follows are? She's a Chargers fan.
They started in Los Angeles in the States.
Yeah. I wasn't obviously around when that was happening. I've been a San Diego Charger fan for a while, and that transition was rough. Yes, it was. But it was Qualcomm. It was classic. Come on.
I have a cool Qualcomm story.
Don't take a wrong turn.
seriously, though.
I took a senior trip in high school with a buddy and his family to Del Mar, spent a week in Del Mar, and we went and watched a Real Madrid soccer game against Chivas back at Qualcomm Stadium, and fans snuck in fireworks and were shooting off mortars from the top from the top section. Police came in, arrested a bunch of people, and I got to see Cristiano Ronaldo in person and score a goal. That was pretty cool. Other than the fireworks getting set off in the middle of the game from row Z up in the top level.
Yeah, my parents went to San Diego State, so they have some horror stories with Qualcomm as well. They were very ecstatic to see that stadium get a new stadium, so to speak.
Rachel, glad you could join us this morning. It was just an incredible weekend of sports, as we have talked about. The Royals getting a win yesterday. More drama unfolding in the transfer portal for college football and basketball. You have Tennessee's quarterback deciding he's not worth $2.4 million. He's worth over $4 million. So we're going to see where Nico Iamaleva plays next. But we both talked about it. The Masters yesterday.
Oh,
yes. Broke it down a little bit in the first segment. Rory finally completing the Grand Slam for his career. It looked like it was going to slip away.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the end, he was crying. And I think there were a lot of tears just by sports fans in general.
Absolutely.
By the time it all ended yesterday.
Yeah, I think I was talking about it yesterday. As somebody who is pretty much an empath, watching him scream cry into the ground after he made that final putt, I was on the verge of tears myself. It was nice to see him finally get that after, 11 tries for the Grand Slam, and that was just an incredible moment for everybody, golf fans everywhere.
Yeah, he had the other three legs of the Grand Slam done by the time it was 2014. He was 24 years old. We're sitting here in 2014 thinking, this dude is going to blow Tiger's records out of the water. And then since then, he's had like 5 second place finishes in major championships. He has all these top fives. He has a lot of missed cuts in the last 6 years too. He just hasn't played his best golf. And he didn't play his best golf yesterday either. It was he mentioned in the press conference after, I had four double bogeys. I don't know if there's ever been a Masters champion to ever have four double bogeys. And I think I saw the stat that you can't have more than two double bogeys in the tournament and be a champion. I think I saw that being back to Tuesday. But he didn't have his best golf, but that was absolute theater. And when he needed he needed to make the birdie in the first playoff hole, he did.
Yeah, exactly. And who doesn't love some free golf either? I mean, he had that terrible start, and he talked about how awful it was to start that third round. And then he had such a great, like, middle stretch of that day. And for him to kind of lose that four-stroke lead that he had towards the end, too, was definitely nerve-wracking for anybody that was rooting for Rory all day. But for Rose to kind of maneuver his way in to tie it and force them to go into the playoff was pretty incredible. And again, you just said it already, like, that was just art. Like, that was just beautiful to watch, and just the ending couldn't have been more perfect for anybody who's just a golf fan, really.
Yeah, as a guy, like, I've always enjoyed Rory. I've always liked Rory. I've never been like maybe rooting for Rory to get it done. Now, I was a guy. I grew up, Tiger Woods was my favorite golfer ever. I still liked Rory. I enjoyed watching him do good. But I didn't necessarily root against him. I rooted against Phil Mickelson for a long, long time. I rooted against Bryson DeChambeau for a long, long time. Those are golfers that I've now come around on. I don't have anyone I necessarily root against. I don't really Patrick Reed. I don't really care for him, but he's on Team USA, so I gotta empathize with him. But for Rory to get it done in the way that he did, again, he comes into the day with a 2-stroke lead. He's trailing by the end of the second hole. Then he's up by 3 strokes somehow by the end of the fourth hole because Bryson DeChambeau just crumbled.
I was going to say, can we talk about Bryson? Because he crumbled so quick.
Yeah, for a guy, you're watching them go to the first tee box. Bryson DeChambeau, Rory's already out there standing for a couple minutes. And Bryson, he does love to play head games. He's a slow golfer. He's a methodical golfer. He's going to take his time over every shot. He's going to take his time over every putt. And he took his time getting to the green. He's going to the first tee box, hyping up the crowd, shaking all their hands. As Rory's just standing there waiting to tee off, he's like, I think we missed our tee time, guys. Come on. And Bryson was in his head the first two holes. And then something happened, and DeChambeau absolutely crumbled and went from 11 under after two that he was 7-under after 11 holes and just crumbled.
Yeah, it was crazy to see the difference in his pretty much just emotions from when he did take the lead over Rory, and then maybe two holes later, he was down bad. And you could just tell, you already mentioned it, he's hyping up the crowd when he's out there. He is a man of the people. He loves to get the crowd going. And you could tell that he was really feeling himself when he did take that lead over Rory. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. I don't really know exactly. He even talked about it afterwards, too. He said, he doesn't even really know what was different for him because he was trying to play the game that he knows how to play. And all of a sudden, it wasn't working for him in any aspect.
And he's also a guy, he says he's a man of the people. And that includes he wants to be a man of the golfers that are around him. And he said after the round yesterday doing post-round interviews, did you have anything to say to Rory in the clubhouse? Did you talk to him? He says, Rory didn't talk to me all day long. Talk about that for head games. That Bryson, the guy who wants to be there hyping up the crowd, he wants to have more energy than anybody on the course. And you're thinking after the first two holes, man, this guy is in Rory's head. Rory not to say a thing to him all day long.
Yeah, and then you see in the playoff, he and Justin greet each other. They're all for it. They're ready to face off against each other. So that difference is just incredible. It's just crazy to see just how different it was for each of them to be playing with each other.
Yeah, Rose definitely one of the guys that Rory looked up to as Justin Rose being an older guy, a Ryder Cup teammate for so long. But yeah, to be able to, Rose even said it after the Masters yesterday. Obviously, I'm out there. I want to win, but to be on the green, I told Rory to be on the green to witness a career Grand Slam. It's only the sixth time it's ever happened in male golf. I mean, that had to be such a cool feeling. And for Rose, 10 birdies in one round and not win is absolutely gutting.
He had the game of his life. That was incredible.
Yeah, to have 10 birdies in one round. One of the best rounds we'll ever see at the Masters. It's just we got the drama we wanted. We got the drama that we deserved for all the hype this week. And it's a Masters that's going to go down in the record books.
Yeah, I still want to know what's going through Rose's head, though. I mean, we've talked about it already. He's been here before. This is the exact same outcome he's had in the past. I want to know just, like, I know that Rory also was going through that in his career as well, getting so close and yet so far. I want to know what's going through Justin's head at this point. Just he's been so close over the years, and he almost had it this time as well. And so it's just definitely got to be tough. But I mean, again, it's Rory. It's a friend of his. They've been playing for so long. So I know it's fun for him to be out there as well.
And Rose is the guy who had he had the lead after the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. He was looking invincible. Struggled a little bit on Saturday on moving day, and then. He had an early birdie. He had two early birdies on 1 and 3 yesterday. And then but when you have 10 birdies and you don't win, it's because you have some bogeys. He fell back to 5 under, and then he goes to 6, goes to 7, mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10, 11. He birdies 18 with like a 35-foot putt.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually go into the playoff. He had the lead there. But, yeah, the third time now, he's finished second at the Masters. The last time there was a playoff, 2017,
was
Justin
him.
Rose fell short. That's just gutting.
It's got to hurt for sure. But you and I talked about it this week and even yesterday. I mean, we knew that Rory was going to take it after we saw Poppy hit that putt in the 3-par contest. That was when I knew this was his year.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it just brings a light to Rory, the competitor he is, the winner he is. But he also has such a light side to him. And he walks into the press conference yesterday after the green jacket ceremony. He sits down and he says, "I want to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we going to talk about next year? There's no more, will Rory ever win the Masters? Will he ever complete the career Grand Slam 14 years after his implode in 2011? He had a 4-stroke lead back in 2011 as a 21, 22-year-old. 4-stroke lead, ended up finishing 10 shots back of the winner. He shot a 79 on that day back in 2011 in the final round. But Rory's finally a champion, and now we sit here wondering, Bryson, he has only 2. Is he going to get another one? What about Scotty? Is he going to be able to chase down a career Grand Slam? And
Speaking of Scotty, too.
Now the pressure floats to other people.
Yeah, and speaking of Scotty, too, I mean, he kind of looked a little uncomfortable in that green jacket ceremony when they first started yesterday. And I know it was an emotional time for Rory, but it was just funny to see Scotty because you know that he wanted to have that back again as well. And so that's always got to be the toughest thing, to have to kind of let go of the reins and hand over the crown a little bit.
That is one of the most unique things in all of sports.
Yeah.
Is that the green jacket ceremony for the Masters. It's last year's winner, no matter the situation, is there to present the green jacket to this year's winner. You could have just had the 2 worst rounds of your life. You could have lost if he had lost in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Think how awkward that would have been. It is really cool. Scotty, he had won 2 of them already.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win another Masters soon. I'm sure of it. Those are probably the 2 guys on top of the golf world right now, Scotty and Rory.
I don't know. For me, it was also really nice just to see a new champion, somebody that hasn't won it before, because I know we've had a lot of repeats in the Masters throughout the years, and so it was nice to see that there was a new name to be added to that stone.
Yeah, and especially when the name is Rory McIlroy, making golf history with the career Grand Slam. That will do it for hour number 1 here on Sports Daily. Brandon Zinner, Rachel Heilman here with you. Coming up after the break, we're going to make the move over to college hoops. The Shockers make a portal addition. What's next for K-State? We're talking about it next on Sports Daily.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
No, it's not.
I was going to ask, who are you? You're Jacob or Tommy?
So I'm
you
Tommy.
You tell me. I want to know.
I don't know.
Either way, it's a compliment. Tommy and Jacob are grade A pros. It's a Monday edition of Sports Daily here on KFH Radio, powered by Prairie Coffee for the second consecutive hour here. A long night because of the Masters pushing back how long I had to be in the 12 News studio last night. Got out of there about 11:30, and knowing I had to be up at 6 a.m. to be here, we're going to say we did not sleep the best. For whatever reason, probably didn't help that I was drinking coffee still at 11 o'clock last night to get me through the night. But we're back. We're drinking coffee again this morning. So thanks to Prairie Fire for fueling us each and every morning here on Sports Daily. Brandon Zenner, Rachel Hallam of 12 News in with you. Max Powers producing this thing. We talked a lot about the Masters and the Royals in the first segment. Now we're going to move on to the transfer portal that just keeps producing, specifically in college basketball. Rachel, I'm going to read you a list of names, and okay, I want you to say what they all have in common. Quincy Ballard, Corey Washington, Bijan Cortez, Ronnie DeGray, Xavier Bell, Justin Hill, Harlan Beverly, AJ McGinnis, Zane Meeks.
Oh, I wonder where this could be going. They're all Shockers who are leaving Wichita State.
Oh, that is right. Those are
ding, ding, ding.
Those are all guys that were on the roster of Wichita State basketball a year ago under Paul Mills, and they are no longer on the roster. Mm-hmm. And you might be thinking that is a lot of people. Yeah, that is a lot of people. The Shockers, as of last week, before they made their first addition to the portal, and then Giannis Bamba also leaves, they were left with 34 points on their roster from a year ago. Not 34 points per game, 34 points in what we're talking, 35-ish games. Mm-hmm. That's how many points they're bringing back. Among that, zero starts. Yeah, so a lot of work to do in the transfer portal for Paul Mills and mm-hmm. company.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Well, he calls himself Portal Paul, so we have to keep giving him that credit. He might be able to do something in the portal come time for it. But this is just an insane roster that they have left remaining. I mean, it was just one player after the other that just kept leaving Wichita State. And now it's almost a completely new program that they're going to have to be restarting for next season.
Yeah, Quincy Ballard, since he's moved on, he's committed to he's going to go play for former Shocker head coach Chris Jans at Mississippi State. Corey Washington, we expect a decision from him sometime in the near future. Looks like, if I had to bet, he's going to end up at Texas A&M mm-hmm. with TJ Cleveland, not our friend TJ Cleveland, former Wichita State assistant TJ Cleveland, leaving and joining the staff under Sean Miller at Texas. I'd have to guess that Quincy Ballard, it looks like that's going to be a favorite spot for him. But the Shockers do still continue to make some moves. Early last week, they had Caron Boyd, the former SoCon Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He's going to be more of a – he's going to score on cuts. He's going to score on putbacks. He's going to score in transition, that kind of player. But he's going to be great for perimeter defense. And then this weekend, they continue to add in one of the best three-point shooters in the entire country, UNC Greensboro guard Kenyon Giles, mm-hmm. Out of UNC Greensboro. He started 2 years at Radford, 5'9". So you got to figure he's probably going to give up a little bit on the defensive end, but still, I think the kind of player that the Shockers need to go out and add after the shooting woes that we saw throughout the year.
Oh, absolutely. And that was a huge difference in their gameplay, especially in the AAC conference tournament and later just in the season. I mean, that was such a struggle for Wichita State. So these two really are going to be a great addition to what kind of they've been missing this whole season.
Yeah, Giles, it's interesting when you go look at his career. He started at Radford. His first year, he averaged 8 points a game. That's respectable for a true freshman coming out of high school and into some big-time college basketball. And then he makes a transition his second year, more experienced. Didn't have the best shooting numbers. He only shot 30% from three. Averaged, though, 14 points per game. You'll take that from this guy. And then He makes the move to UNC Greensboro, and something clicked with this man from deep. He goes from 30% shooting from three to shooting better than 40% from three, and that's among the best marks in all of college hoops. And he had just some pretty ridiculous numbers. I broke it down last night on 12 News. He had 8 games with 4 or more threes. He had 9 games with 20-plus points, which is the opposite of Crum Boyd. Crum Boyd had 1 20-point game last year. He had plenty in double digits, but he's more of a, I'm going to go get you 8 points and 7 rebounds kind of guy. Now, this is a guy, Kenyon Giles, that he can shoot the lights out of the ball, and something that the Shockers desperately needed, because I don't know if they have a 3-point coming back on their roster.
No, and you already said it. I mean, this is something they desperately needed, but it's interesting to look at the fact that he was in the transfer portal for almost a month before he even was having these conversations with Wichita State. And you would think that, like, based off the stats that you're giving right now and just the player that he is somebody that you would want on your program. And so it's just crazy to me that he was in the transfer portal for as long as he was. And Paul Mills, being Portal Paul that he is, made a good decision. Hopefully we'll see how it turns out in the regular season.
And, again, he's 5'9". And so when you start to build out this thing, they still have I think 5 or 6 spots open on this roster. So there's still plenty more work to do. And they just need one experience, and they need size. Their biggest player coming in is Noah Hill, a freshman out of here at Sunrise. He's only 6'8", but he's a true freshman. Are you going to really trust him to start? I don't even know if he's really a center. They need a center, a guy like Quincy Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
They need more size. So right now, when you start looking at who can we possibly slate in the starting spots, you're looking at Keandre Kendall. He's an All-American coming in from Barton. He's also under 6 foot. He's listed at 6 foot, 6'1". I've interviewed him. I'm not sure he's quite that tall. So if you have him starting next to Giles, who's only 5'9", you're going to get some steals, but that's a lot that you're giving up on the defensive end. Boyd looks like he would probably come in and be a starter, like a Corey Washington light.
Right.
I would think he's going to come bring that sort of energy and some of those intangibles. But still work to do as far as building out this roster. But that's what the portal season's for.
Yeah, exactly. They have some time. They can take some time right now, too. But like you said, there's just way too much on this roster that they need to fill in for the coming season, and hopefully they can get some size when they get into the transfer portal as well.
And our friend Taylor Eldridge, always good about a guy commits, and he is getting the interview with them one way or another, and bringing the stories for you with the Wichita Eagle. And he told Taylor, Kenyon did, that Paul Mills has coached some of his favorite point guards that he likes to watch, Max Asemus at Oral Roberts, who then went on to go play at Texas. Pierre Jackson played under Paul Mills when Paul Mills was an assistant at Baylor. This is a guy who is going to be efficient on offense. Again, he's going to bring some big three-point numbers, and Wichita State struggled to do that. We saw games where they had 2 3-point makes, but they had maybe 5. But this guy's going to go chuck 7 attempts a game if he continues his numbers. But still a good addition, and I'm excited to see how he fits with Paul Mills.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what else Mills can do in the portal as well, and just to kind of build this roster that he kind of has a clean slate with now. I mean, he has so much room to do anything that he wants with this new program, and it's going to be interesting to see what we can see next year. I mean, Wichita State had a good couple of runs in this last season, and they did show some promise, but again, it's those threes that they were really struggling with, especially late in the season, so this is going to be a great addition for them.
They struggled to make the three, struggled to defend the three when they were on their little losing spell at the beginning of conference play there through the early parts of February as well. This is a team that started non-conference great. Their only loss early was until they lost a random game to UMKC. They lost to Florida. Florida went on to be okay. They won a national title. There's nothing wrong in losing to Florida. You don't want to lose by 40. That's another story. But they end the year strong. They start the year strong. Now it's all about putting it together. What, in your opinion, do the Shockers need to do the rest of the portal?
I mean, they need size. We've already talked about that. I mean, losing Quincy Ballard is going to be a huge loss for the for these Shockers. He's just a force under the basket when he needs to be. And then defensively, he's just incredible as well. So they definitely need somebody that's going to be able to guard the paint as well, and just as well as Quincy did, really, and as well as he did offensively as well. I mean, him under the basket is just going to be something they're going to miss. So they're definitely going to need size up there, and just the aggression that they, that he had as well.
They did have some size in this weekend. Monmouth transfer Jarrett Valencia. We saw him play against the Shockers early in the season. That's a guy who's 7'9" with a wingspan that's even better. He's not a center. He will be more of a 3 or 4 really athletic guy who can do a little bit of everything. That would be a good get for the Shockers, but still 5 spots to fill. And they have a lot of unproven players on their team. 3 incoming high school guys and 2 others that didn't really play last year, so still work to do for Paul Mills and company. You're listening to Sports Daily here on a Monday. Brandon Zenner, Rachel Howell, Max Powers in producing this thing. We'll continue with you right after this break.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily on a Monday. Brandon Zenner, Rachel Hallman with you. Max Power is producing this thing as we continue to roll in. Again, Tommy and Jacob will rejoin you tomorrow to talk about Royals, Yankees. They're probably going to start looking forward to maybe some NFL drafts. You know, Tommy's going to talk about the Masters, Max. I mean, you're going to have probably at least 1 full hour of Tommy stories tomorrow, Max, as he comes back from the Masters. But we continue to roll on here, and it's a big night for one of the best players we have ever seen, one of the best athletes we have ever seen come through Kansas State University, a story that we do want to touch on. The WNBA draft tonight at 6:30 on ESPN, and we already know who's going number one overall. It's going to be Paige Beckers, one of the best women's basketball players we've ever seen come through college. She capped her career at UConn with a national title, but local ties here as well, because K-State is going to be there loud and proud in New York City for the WNBA draft. Serena Sundell, one of 15 players invited to be there and hear her name called in the WNBA draft. She would be the 12th player to ever come through K-State and end up in the WNBA. Ayoka Lee definitely could be if she wanted to, but she's had all the injury issues, and can't blame her for deciding that she wants to temporarily hang it up, and I think it personally is for good. But Serena Sundell, one of the best players we've ever seen come through Kansas State, she is going to hear her name called tonight and be there in New York City, Rachel, which is just, I mean, what an honor.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's hard for us because we've watched her this whole really career here at K-State, and just watching her this last season, incredible, and just the way she's progressed throughout her years in Kansas State. And she's just one of those players that we obviously have watched all this time that we think that she could be one of the best, if not the best, in the WNBA draft. But I mean, obviously Paige Beckers, that's an easy take for anybody. And it's crazy to me though to see Serena Sundell as far down in mock drafts still at this rate.
Yeah, there is a lot of talent, and I mean, more some teams have bigger needs than others. Serena Sundell is the kind of player you can plug and play at any position. She's got good size, she can defend, she can shoot, she can get to the rim, she can dish it out. There's so much that she can do. I was looking at mock drafts last night for preparation for Sports Sunday on KWCH, and The Athletic has her going 9th overall to the Sparks. I saw USA Today has her going 11th overall to the Minnesota Lynx, which I would be pretty happy about. I would. I'm not really a Jersey guy, but as a Minnesota fan, I would probably get that jersey.
Yeah.
And I've known Serena since her freshman days in high school. Mm-hmm. I covered her, and from the moment I saw her as a freshman, I was like, this girl is going to be really good. She's going to be really good in college. Absolutely. Didn't know she'd be an All-American. Didn't know she'd be going to the WNBA one day.
Didn't know she'd break every record in Kansas State history.
Exactly. So selfishly, I am rooting for her to go to the Lynx or just go as high as she can. I saw another one that had her going early second round, which is crazy because she is so, so talented. But she's gonna be a force and have a chance to have a really long WNBA career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you already said it. There are several that we have seen that she goes early second round. I think the latest that I saw was Atlanta Dream at like 18. Yeah. And so, again, I just think it's crazy to see her drop that far. Not saying that that is very far, because that is still high up in the WNBA draft, especially with this year's incredible draft class that they do have in front of them to just pick and choose from. But I still think she should be at least first round, in my opinion. Obviously, like I said, we have watched her for a while,
we have
some bias there. But yeah, I do think that she should be in that first round. But you know, you never know. Anything can happen in this draft tonight.
And I'm sure we'll get to see whenever the red carpet, everything starts. but I'm sure Jeff Mitty is going to be there with her, the women's basketball coach at Kansas State, a big piece of bringing her there. I'm sure some of her teammates are going to be there as well. It's going to be an amazing time in New York City for Serena Sandell and company. Again, expect to hear her name called in the WNBA draft, hopefully in the first round. But who knows? You never know with these things. Again, there could be trades. It's a wild thing, these drafts are. We'll see it next week with the NFL draft getting underway next Thursday. One of the best players in the history of Kansas State women's basketball. And then also now moving over to the Kansas State men's basketball, we talked about the portal just this last segment with how it pertains to the Shockers, and we talked about having to replace some pieces. I mean, there's no difference up there in Manhattan for Jerome Tang's squad. He has the likes of David Gasson and Max Jones and Coleman Hawkins all on their way out. There was Brendan Housen to the portal, who was a great shooter, didn't give you too much on defense, hadn't his best offensive season yet, but he decides to go back in the portal. We'll see where he lands. I know the likes of Illinois, Iowa have been in touch with him, so we'll see where Housen goes. But they do bring in one of the nation's best scorers, Abdi Bashir Jr. from Monmouth, a guy who averaged over 20 points a game. He had 10 threes against Rutgers. He's a guy who showed out against every single team he played, 20 against Michigan State, scored north of 25 11 times. When you're having to replace the likes of Gasson, when you're having to replace the likes of Coleman Hawkins, Max Jones, they're bringing back Doug McDaniel, David Castillo. They have a couple other freshmen incoming. Tyreek Smith transferred in midseason from Memphis. Didn't get to play for the podcast last year because of the transfer rules and whatnot. But, I mean, this is a guy that we talked about it with who Wichita State has gotten so far. If you're a Cats fan, you have to be ecstatic about a guy who's going to go average 20 points a night.
Yeah, I think I would be okay with that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing to really complain about right now. Obviously, there's a lot of people leaving, a lot of people going, a lot of people coming too. So it's just, it's a chaotic couple of months for any basketball fan, but especially for Kansas and for K-State.
And just trying to keep track of who's on what team.
Yes, exactly.
And you have all these people coming in to visit. You're like, wait, I thought he already committed somewhere else.
Yes, exactly.
It's weird. Yeah, K-State does have a lot of work to do in the portal. They, as I said, they just get Monmouth guard Abdi Bashir Jr., who's a long guy, a 6'7 guard, a wingspan that is longer than that. He can pull from three. He can do quite a bit of stuff. That's a good get for him, but replacing the likes of David Gasson, Coleman Hawkins, you got to figure next is we got to find a big man, because they have Onyenso. Wyatt Thompson told us recently he's surprised that he wasn't in the portal yet.
Yeah.
But you got to think a big man is around the corner for K-State.
Absolutely. And also adding to that as well, I mean, Brendan Hassan entering the transfer portal, you already talked about that as well. I mean, they're losing some key guys. I mean, Brendan was one of those guys that could hit those threes for him when they really needed it. And obviously, he wasn't the big man for them as well. So they are still losing that size, and they do definitely need to find something in the portal as soon as they can.
Yeah, and so when you look at their key pieces now centering around next year's Wildcats, you have Doug McDaniel, who had an amazing stretch when they were at their best the final two-thirds of the season, really before like the final five games. They had that six-game winning streak where they beat four ranked teams. Doug McDaniel was at his best in that span. I think Jerome Tang was at his best coaching in that span. So you're happy to bring back Doug McDaniel. It's good that he is. I mean, he could enter the portal for all we know today, tomorrow, sometime before the 22nd. But getting him back, you had Abdi Bashir Jr. David Castillo showed some things as a freshman. He still has some growth to do. C.J. Jones was a great piece. He started, came off the bench, was a really solid player for them, transferred in last year. But yeah, outside of that, you have a couple freshmen incoming that who knows how much they're going to contribute. Not top 100 guys by any means, but still work to do for Jerome Tang and company.
Yeah, and I'm going to be interested to see kind of who takes over that leadership role too as well as we go into this next year.
It's a big piece for them.
Yeah, exactly. You had so many of those guys that were those leaders this last season, and you could tell by the emotions that they had after the Big 12 loss and everything and not making it to the NCAA tournament that this was going to hurt, and this is going to hurt them as they continue into this next season as well, and you lose some of those guys that had that emotional support and connection and leadership for this program, and it's going to be hard to fill those shoes.
Yeah, so we're going to continue to stay in touch with what Jerome Tang is doing. They should have probably about five spots to fill as well, and everything is very, very fluid. They have money flowing around at K-State. They're not afraid to go out and spend it, as we saw last year with Coleman Hawkins and the reported money that he was getting in NIL. It's an attractive landing spot with Jerome Tang bringing that group to the Elite Eight his first year. You got to imagine they're going to have one or two more big splashes in the portal as they continue to build towards 2025, 2026. And K-State under Bill Self has had quite the splashes so far as well. Maybe none bigger than keeping Flory Badunga, their own center, who didn't get the playing time he wanted as a freshman. I'm not sure what him and his guardians exactly expected. He's going to KU and Hunter Dickinson's already there. he says after the season, I don't want that kind of season to happen again. I'm going to hit the portal. Who knows what their motivation was, but in the end, he ends up coming back anyway. So Flory Badunga, one of the five-star freshmen, coming back for his sophomore year to KU, they go out and get the likes of Jaden Dawson of Loyola Chicago as well, a guy who's going to play solid defense, score double digits for you as well. And then last week as well, they add Trey White from Illinois, another guy who's going to score double digits for you, shoot the ball okay, just a Bill Self kind of guy. he's going to be willing to do anything. But the Jayhawks, from where things were when Flory Badunga hit the portal, and it's panic mode there in Lawrence, I think they've rebounded very nicely so far.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I mean, I think when Flory entered the portal, everyone was a little shook up. I myself was very confused, did not see that one coming as well. You already said he's talked about how he didn't like the season that he had. He would have liked a better season, but of course, you know, coming in with Hunter Dickinson, it's going to be hard as a freshman to really develop that spot for yourself. But I still think he had an incredible first season as a freshman in Kansas against somebody like Hunter Dickinson. You're having to prove yourself against somebody who has proven himself time and time again for this program as well. I just think that he was definitely going to be a big loss for them if he did end up actually transferring out of Kansas. So I think it was definitely panic mode when he said that he was going to enter the transfer portal, and I don't think anybody was really expecting that.
I don't think anyone was expecting it, but then oddly enough, it seemed like everybody on social media was immediately like, oh, he's going to come back, don't worry.
Yeah,
it's reported that they are open to coming back, which
teasing everybody.
You read through the tea leaves. I think you can probably pin what the motivation was behind getting to the portal.
Man, wouldn't you have just loved to have been a fly on the wall with those conversations?
Oh my gosh, him and Bill, because you know, we saw the exact same thing happen with Tennessee football this past week. Their starting quarterback goes and says, "I want a raise," which in this day and age of college sports is completely fair. Any AD can go to the president and say, "I want a raise." Any coach can go to the AD and say, "I want a raise."
Why not the players?
In this day and age, players have every right, along with their representation, to go and do that same thing.
Right.
And it seems like without him coming out and saying, "I wanted more money," as other players have.
That's what happened. Yeah.
That is what happened. He wanted that, and he wanted reassurance that he was going to have a bigger role. And he surely will. We saw him have double-doubles. We've seen him. He can go get you six, eight blocks on a night as well. Florida Badunga, he has as much upside as any center we have ever seen from this early under Bill Self, the likes of the Jeff Whitties, the David McCormicks, the Thomas Robinsons, Florida Badunga. That guy has such a high ceiling. And then now when you're looking at this roster, building it out, the likes of Trey White, Jaden Dawson also coming in. You have Elmarco Jackson who's going to be coming back, Jamari McDowell as well. We haven't even talked about Darren Peterson. He's going to be the motor that makes this team go. The number one player in all of high school basketball, upgraded to the number one player by every recruiting site last week. Jayhawk fans going from panic of this is the worst team we've ever seen under Bill Self to when you have the likes of Darren Peterson and Flory Badunga and some returning pieces and experience. Jayhawk fans probably can't count the days the basketball season.
Right, exactly. I was going to talk about how Badunga is almost just that spark that KU needs on the court any time that he does step on the court. But adding this new recruit as well, the number one player in the state of Kansas as a high school player, and it's going to be incredible to see them kind of bounce off of each other as well. I mean, considering the fact that they're both going to be relatively young when he comes into this program as well, they're both going to be able to kind of build on their experience together, and I feel like that's just going to be a great combination for these Jayhawks.
And how much have you watched of Darren Peterson's
highlights? Not enough. I'll tell you that.
If you go watch, it's ridiculous. You look at him and you're like, this guy looks like Kobe. This guy looks like Anthony Edwards. He has that kind of game to him. He plays with fire. He is silky smooth.
Oh my gosh, he's still a teenager. This is crazy.
He's 18 years old. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know when his birthday is, but I'm assuming he's 18, maybe 19. But yeah, he finishes at the rim, just silky smooth pull-up jumpers. The dude, he's going to come here, be the real deal. If you're a KU fan, you want him to stick around. If you can get the NIL money there and say, hey, we'll pay you whatever it takes to keep you here for 3 years. I mean, this is the kind of guy that you win championships under.
Yeah, they got the money too now. They can spend some money on somebody and almost build a team around him if they really, truly wanted to. And I think they easily could with a kid like this.
Yeah, and just using that money to keep him here. Because you go to the NBA, I don't know off the top of my head what the number one pick is getting. But we see it with JT Toppin at Texas Tech.
Yep.
He goes, he's probably going to be drafted bottom half of the first round. That guaranteed money is around $2 million. Texas Tech says, we'll pay you $4 to stay. Yeah. Oh, okay, sounds good. That's the new wave of college sports, especially with these kind of guys that are just program changers that can just change a game in an instant. We haven't seen Darren Peterson play a single minute for KU, but every intent and purpose tells you that he's going to come in and make that sort of immediate impact for KU, and it's setting up to be a fun year as much as Wichita State and K-State, they can do work in the portal. It's setting up to be a fun year of college hoops.
Yeah, setting up to be. We're getting there.
We said that this year too. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be fun to see, though. I'm curious to see kind of what they each can do with the recruits that they already have coming in and just kind of how they can build a whole new program. I mean, both of these programs have almost a clean slate when it comes into this next year with the new transfers and everybody just entering the portal. I mean, everyone wanting to kind of move around right now in the state of NCAA basketball.
And we talk about clean slates with Wichita State and a bit of the same for K-State. They're still going to have good players coming back, but David Gasan, a guy who's been with that program for 3 years. Some new blood is coming into that program, too. But KU, I mean, it might not seem like it from the outside, but if you pay attention to KU, this is as much of a clean slate as they're going to ever have, too. I mean, KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris have been with that program what seems like a decade, especially in the case of DeJuan Harris. And Hunter Dickinson obviously was such a staple for the last 2 years. So, in a sense, if Bill Self wants to remake this offense a little bit, and because you don't have a point guard who's not going to score the ball like DeJuan Harris was for so long,
have at it.
Bill Self can remake this team in his identity. Well, we know you guys are counting down the hours. Tommy and Jacob will be back with you to talk about everything that happens today. Again, Royals opening up a series in New York. You can hear that game coming up later today. And then, yeah, just a lot to get into over the next couple weeks. The NFL draft is right around the corner. Now, we spent much of today talking about the Masters. Tommy is certainly going to share stories of that. Jacob, I'm sure, will share stories of what it was like watching it so early in the morning as he was at his beachfront. I don't know what his situation was in Hawaii, but enjoying some family time out there. So, the Sunday Masters experience that Tommy got to go to had us thinking, why not us three dive into what would be our dream sporting events to attend if we were given the opportunity? What better way to do that than a little snake draft, which I love to do. So myself, Rachel, and Max, I explained the rules. I think Rachel has it down. Max, we're gonna see if he has it down. But I'm gonna have a little bit of a I'm gonna randomize our names here, and we're gonna go around. We're each gonna make three selections. Sporting events you could want to attend. Don't have to pick any specific year, no specific game that's happened in the past. Just it can be broad but specific enough, if that makes sense. So we are gonna just see what we come up with. We'll talk about each pick a little bit too, and what makes it so significant. But I mean, coming off of the Sunday at the Masters, you got to imagine that's gonna be a high pick for somebody. The Masters final round, so. Gonna randomize our three names here, and we will go in the order of. Oh, this is the nightmare scenario. We explained how a snake draft works. Max is the third pick. I will be the second pick, and that means Rachel, we're picking our dream sporting events to attend, and you get the number one overall pick. You are picking.
Oh, this is tough.
Three rounds. You have the first pick. What is your dream sporting event to attend?
I mean, I think it unfortunately has to be the Masters. We've already talked about that. I didn't want to pick it too high in the draft, but I know somebody was going to pick it before me anyway, so I feel like I have to do it now. I just think it'd be so fun to be a part of that. I don't really care what day it would be. Obviously, Sunday would be the best day to be there, but just have a little drink in my hand, wearing some golf clothes, walking around in that gorgeous Augusta course, and I just think that would be such an incredible environment and so fun for any patron to be a part of.
Yeah, not fans. They are patrons.
Yes, exactly.
Walking the grounds of Augusta National Golf Club. Hello, friends. All right.
okay.
So Rachel with it makes the most sense just when you see the drama that we saw this past couple days, and just the history of the event. Mm-hmm. I mean, the exclusivity is what makes the Masters so great every single year. So Rachel goes first overall with the Masters, and that puts me on the board of a dream sporting event I would want to attend, and I got to take the low-hanging fruit of the Super Bowl. It's an event unlike any other. I have been lucky enough
as
to...
As a fan, though, correct?
Going as a fan. Would mean the Vikings are in the Super Bowl. this is already so unrealistic. I'm sorry to all the
It's
listeners.
Okay. I almost said it for as if the Chargers were going to be there, but that's also very unrealistic.
Yeah,
so
there's just something about, obviously, the Super Bowl. It's a whole day. It should be a national holiday. We should get the day after it
Absolutely.
Off. Yeah, there's... It's more of a spectacle than any sporting event in the world. You got the halftime show, everything that goes into the game, the build up to it. Yeah, give me
to add to it though. Who would be your halftime performer then?
Ooh, who would be my halftime performer? I could go a couple ways and either make people angry, or I could just go with my gut. You know, it's impossible because of just like where we are in life, but Queen is my favorite band of all time. Yeah, so if yeah. I could do, if we could bring back a hologram of Freddie Mercury and do that, that'd be pretty sweet. But as far as like current acts, let's see. That's a great question. I would go with, how about Post Malone?
There you go.
That'd be a good one. We haven't seen him do it, so I'll go that route.
I think you and I have talked about it. I think the only reason we'd see him is if it was in Dallas, though.
Yeah, it's very possible. There's a lot of Super Bowls in Dallas. So
there you go.
All right, so Max, we're picking our dream sporting events to attend. The Masters is off the board with the first pick. Super Bowl is off the board. You have back-to-back picks.
Oh.
I know Max a little bit. I have a feeling I know where he's going to go with at least one of these picks.
It's not that I care about tennis, but I want to go to Australia, so I'll take
the Australian Open.
There you go.
I don't want to be on a plane for a month and a half to get there, but
it might be worth it, though.
We don't have to factor travel into this.
It's teleportation, snap your fingers.
It's on the KFH dime. I mean, you're flying private, baby.
I'll scalp the ticket outside.
All right, so you're going to the Australian Open. That's a great one. If I was going tennis, I didn't think that's where it would be, but it is the first major of the year, or the first Grand Slam of the year. That's a good pick. Plus, you get everything about Australia. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love Australia? Now your second pick. Where are you going, Max?
Maybe I'll go to the Open, just to see Scotland.
The Open Championship.
See if I can find groundskeeper Willie's relatives.
But see, that's a good one. There's so much history. Obviously, you're going to where golf is born. You're going around. All around Great Britain and everything, but it is cold. The weather always sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be raining on you. But
and they're playing it in July or something, don't they?
Yeah,
30.
Yeah, they're always playing around Father's Day. I considered it. But that weather that makes it tough on me. So, but hey, we respect it.
We're a kilt.
There you go.
Yeah, the bagpipes going in the background.
Fully immersed.
Love that. All right, so now it is back to me from my second pick. We already have the Masters, Super Bowl, Australian Open, the Open off of the board. I will go, give me the Olympics.
Which?
It's summer, yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying on the theme, if I can't just say here and talk to Max about the weather and then we want to go to the Winter Olympics. No, the Summer Olympics, you got the 100-meter dash, which is always electric to see.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the pool events. I'm a huge Olympic swimming guy. There's, like, getting to see Michael Phelps in his prime would have been unlike anything other. I love gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to see, like, Simone Biles do all that. That would be
Gabby Douglas,
so
any of those girls,
cool.
Really, yeah.
Give me, I will take a good Rachel asking for clarification. I will take the Summer
Olympics.
Is
that next summer in Los Angeles? Is that the next summer?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think, we have winter coming up next year and then LA 2028, I believe.
Number 84. Oh, my God.
I don't know how they're going to plan to get around.
It's going to be the
traffic's
most traffic.
Already bad.
Yeah, exactly. LA is already horrible to drive
8 a.m.
around
on a Tuesday. Imagine with everyone across the world there. So
yeah, that's going to be real tough.
All right. So, Rachel, back to back picks. Dream sporting events to attend.
Okay. I have to go. This one's really tough because I only have two more picks and I don't know where to go right now. But I think I'm going to go Final Four, men's basketball. I think that would just be such a great event to be at. I know this last season was a little anticlimactic where we had all ones in the Final Four, but it was still a great Final Four. Yeah, exactly. I just think that would be so fun to be a part of. Obviously, it'd be nice to see my alma mater, Colorado State, in the Final Four as well, but that is also very unpredictable, or not unpredictable, but not possible at this time anyway.
Yeah. I've never got to go to a Final Four. Covered plenty of March Madness as well. Just getting to see that drama, as good as it is on TV. There's just something about basketball games in person, too.
Exactly.
So electric. So I think that's you can't go wrong with that pick.
Yeah. All right, my final one. I have to say, because I'm a soccer fan and I've played soccer my entire life, I think the FIFA World Cup would be one of the greatest, coolest events to go to, and you get to travel, you get to see all over the place. So I think it'd be so fun to be a part of that. Obviously, it'd be nice to see the U.S. Do well in that as well too. But yeah, I think that would be such a fun event to be a part of.
Well, lucky for you, the World Cup's coming to the United States next summer. So, I mean, that's going to be...
not too much travel
that's
there.
That's going to be awesome. There's games up in Kansas City. There's games in Dallas. Yep. So, very easy to get to. I've already been planning for years with my uncle and my dad.
There you go.
We're going to go to a game in Dallas. We're going to go to a game in Kansas City. That's our plan. Hopefully you get to see the USA play in one of them. I imagine they're going to play a game in Dallas, probably at Dallas, yeah. LA, and New York, if I had to guess. But yeah, World Cup, cannot wait for that to be here. That is a dream, and we're going to get to live out that dream here soon. So it's back to me for my final pick. I already have the Super Bowl. I already have the Summer Olympics, which is why now I'm going to take maybe one of the most dramatic parts you can ever get in sports. I'm going to take... specifically game 7 of a World Series. There's just something about the drama of baseball that's coming down to the final innings. It's so tense. It's so everything's just so close together with baseball. The fans on top of you. I can't get enough of playoff baseball. So I will take a World Series game 7. As my final pick, which brings us to Max to round it out. And I'm surprised he's not gone a certain way yet, but we'll see what Max decides with his last pick.
I'll go to game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
There you go.
I figured that was going to be your very first pick.
Because I saw Yvonne Conway hoist the thing in 77 against the Bruins. It was awesome.
I was waiting. I know you're a hockey guy. I thought Stanley Cup is where you're going to go off the rip. So
best playoffs of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nonstop action.
Yeah, and then you get the traditional overtime rules.
Yeah.
We've seen some of these games going to triple, quadruple overtime.
Ah, love that.
That is just so dramatic.
Who doesn't love some free hockey?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good pick. You have. Still some that are left out there that we didn't even touch on. Wimbledon, I think, would have been a great choice for anybody, especially as a tennis fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Kentucky Derby, it is so
cool.
Yeah,
I almost said that one as well. That I think that would have been my fourth if we were to keep going there.
Yeah, so you have both of those. You have the Winter Olympics as well. Daytona 500, I guess, if that's yours. If that's... You know, a college championship. Football,
yep, exactly. That would be fun.
Yeah, there's so many.
Or you could just
springs.
Go super specific with college football in like a Army Navy game. Yeah.
UNC
Duke basketball.
The game between Michigan and Ohio State every single year.
Exactly.
I think you couldn't go wrong with either of these, Max, with the Australian Open, the British Open, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. Rachel gets the Masters Final Four World Cup. I get Super Bowl, Summer Olympics, Game 7 of the World Series as well. It was awesome to see everything unfold with the Masters over the weekend. And World Series, the Royals might not look like a World Series team right now, but they have still a lot to build for this year. And we've seen Cole Ragans do it. They're going to go to Seth Lugo on the mound today to open up their series in New York. But they have the pieces, especially, I think, in the AL Central, to at least put themselves in the conversation throughout the season.
Yeah, and they've already shown that potential, and it was interesting to hear Vinny talk about it after their opening day, too, that they are a comeback team, and they have shown spurts of that throughout this season so far already. It's just whether or not they can hold on to that and keep leads. And offensively, you've already talked about how they have been struggling this season, so they definitely need to up the ante there as well.
Yeah, the pitching... It's been there in just about every single game this year. They've had a couple blow-up innings by guys that aren't going to necessarily have high leverage spots as the year goes on. The Sam Longs, the Chris Strattons. As the year goes on, it's going to be – you're going to lean a lot on Hunter Harvey. You're going to lean a lot on Daniel Lynch, Lucas Erceg, and Carlos Estevez. And if those pitchers, the starting pitchers, can get you 5-6 innings, I think the Royals are going to feel like they're in a really good spot if they have a lead. But they just need the likes of Vinny, Salvi – and probably just one other bat to really come around and give Bobby some help. And then I think the offense will be in a good spot come summertime probably. That will do it for us on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. Brandon Zenner joined by Rachel Howell today. Rachel, thanks for stopping by. It was fun.
Yeah, of course. It was fun. Again, I said this at the start, but this is the first time I've ever done radio, and it was really fun to be a part of it. So thanks for having me.
Well, if I can do it, if TJ can do it, and I think anybody can do
it. Then it's so good. Yeah.
So thanks for joining us again. Tommy and Jacob will be back tomorrow. Tommy's going to have some great Masters stories to tell. They're going to recap the opening day of the series between the Royals and the Yankees and much more to get to. You've been listening to Sports Daily on KFH Radio.